Today we're going to be in John chapter 5, and I just want you to know today, if you'll listen closely, today can be, every week's transformative, but today especially can be a transformative word in your life. Today we're talking about health, true health. We're hearing about that a lot in our society, aren't we? Mental health, emotional health, psychological health, especially during a pandemic and now coming out of it. We've heard a lot about these topics and these issues in our society, and we are the most medicated generation or society in the history of the United States, yet we are also still the most depressed, the most broken. I don't say that to attack medicine in any way. I'm just making a statement, making a point. Maybe there's something spiritually missing from our heart that medicine can't fix. Come on, church. It starts with Jesus, doesn't it? That's where it starts. What a great word from Tevin. Say, man, it starts with Jesus. I thank God for doctors and nurses and counselors and psychologists, psychiatrists. But your healing, are you listening to me today? Your healing starts with Christ. It starts in the gospel. And so whatever you struggle with, all of us today are going to identify with the invalid in the passage. All of us, the word invalid means no strength. In the original language. That's what it means here in John 5. This guy who gets healed at the pool of Bethesda where Jesus comes, speaks a word into his life. All of us can identify with the invalid today. Are there times in your life where you feel like you have no strength? Come on now. In your job, in your physical life, in your marriage, your parenting, relationships, I mean, there's times where you feel like, man, I just can't go on. I mean, something's got to happen. Something supernatural's got to happen in my life. Well, that's what the gospel's all about, the supernatural work of God. God's done something supernaturally for you and I on the cross. Jesus died for our sins. That's what separates us from God. That's where the strength has drained out and gone away. God created us to know Him and enjoy Him, but our sins separated us from Him. And it's His resurrection power that restores that strength and that joy. And so today, health. I'm telling you, man, today we're just going to lay on Jesus' couch a little while. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go into His counseling office, lay on His couch, and let Him speak to us. Okay, John chapter 5. Let's dive in together. We're going to start in verse number 2. It says here, there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda. It's got five roofed colonnades. And in these lay a multitude of invalids. Okay, again, the word in the original language is ostrenuo. It literally means no strength. And so don't just see physical impairment here, although that was his issue. This really is a bigger picture, isn't it? Of all the things that we struggle with and where we lack in this life. He says, there's a multitude of invalids there were there, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. That number's significant. We'll come back to that in just a moment. And when Jesus saw him lying there, knew that he had already been there a long time, he said, do you want to be healed? By the way, that's the supreme question, isn't it? Do you really want to be set free today? Do you really want to go to heaven when you die? Do you really want to be free of depression, anxiety, drugs, alcohol? Maybe it's just gossip, anger, bitterness, whatever it is in your heart and your life. Do you really want to be set free? Do you want to be healed? And the sick man says, man, he gives the excuses, right? He gives the stuff. He says, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going down, another steps down before me. Verse 8, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And in verse 9, and at once, Jesus healed him. The man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. Lord Jesus, today I pray that you would pour out your spirit. Jesus, be lifted high in this place. I plead your blood over this place. It is your blood that washes away our sin. By your stripes we are healed. It's only through your shed blood and your resurrection power that we can have victory and we can overcome. We can be more than conquerors through you, through your love, through your blood, through a relationship with you. And so today, Father, send your spirit, destroy the strongholds of the enemy, set us free from those things that bind us today. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen. And amen. Today's transformative for us. We're going to talk about four keys to true health. True health. True health, physical, emotional, psychological. When we think about health, we think about all those things. But first and foremost, it's about spirit stuff, isn't it? Spiritual health, if you will. Our sickness is sin, and there is a balm in Gilead. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us whole. And so today we're going to talk about four keys. If you want to be set free today, four keys to true health. Before we dive into that, just some points in way of introduction. Notice in this passage first the ethos of Jesus's ministry, the ethic of it. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, he didn't go to the palace. He didn't go to where all the politicians hung out. He didn't even go to the synagogue initially. He went to this pool where all these invalids lay. And so what a picture for us, the ministry of Jesus. Aren't you glad today that our sins, our struggles, and our shortcomings do not deter Jesus from our life? Come on, somebody. And so no matter what you're struggling with today, again, we all lack strength in different ways. But no matter what you're struggling with today, Jesus runs to you. He wants to meet you right where you are today. He's not hanging out with the self-righteous, the, you know, self-proclaimed spiritual folks. He wants to come and meet the broken right where they are. And I thank God for that, because I don't know about you, I need his strength, right? We all do, every day. So we see the ethos of his ministry. Also here we see the heart of Christ's ministry. It's interesting, isn't it, that he walks up to this guy and no small talk. He doesn't ask him about the weather. Hey, how's the weather, man? Isn't this weather great? He doesn't ask him about football. Come on now. Did they have football back then? I guess not. But you know what I'm saying. He didn't come up and ask him about football or, hey, how's your family doing? I mean, there was no small talk. He walks right up to this guy. He says, hey, do you want to be healed or not? I mean, Jesus just gets right to the heart of the matter, doesn't he? It's been said before that the heart of the matter is that it's a matter of the heart. Do you want to be healed? That's the supreme question today, isn't it? And listen, Jesus wants to cut through all the justifications and all the stuff and all the pleasantries, and he wants to go right to your stuff today. And he wants to meet you there again with his grace. Don't be put off by that or offended by that. He wants to meet you right where you are in his love. He knows everything about us, yet he cares for us with a love and a compassion that we can't fathom. And so, man, we see the heart of his ministry, but also we see here the purpose of the healing. If you've ever read this passage, you ever stop to ask, like, there's like invalids everywhere, folks that need healing everywhere. Why does he just pick this one dude? Why just the one guy? By the way, there are other times in the Gospels where it said that Jesus went to a specific place and healed everybody that came to him. I mean, just healed everybody who was there. Why didn't he do that here? Oh, well, it's first a picture of his grace, isn't it? I don't understand why some get saved and some don't, other than we have a free will to choose whether or not we're going to submit to Christ. But I don't fully understand why certain ones have a certain life or certain things come in their life, certain circumstances that draw them to the Lord. And so I don't understand why some of those things happen the way they do. But are you grateful today for the grace of God? Who's grateful for the grace and mercy of God? Come on, somebody. Yeah. So he meets us in his grace. It's a picture of, hey, I care about you today. And that ought to encourage you. It's not meant to be this picture of those he pushes away. It's more about the one right now that he wants to meet with. But also, it's cool if you study the Old Testament, you go back and you look. This dude has been an invalid for 38 years. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 14, it says that the generation that died in the wilderness after they left Egypt with Moses there, that they wandered for 38 years, then they died. You know what this dude is? He's a sermon illustration. And by the way, God never wastes his grace. Isn't that cool? He's doing something specific right here. He's in Jerusalem. It's during a feast season. The scripture tells us right before this. There's folks there everywhere. All the religious leaders are there. So he's like, hey, I'm fixing to give y'all a visual illustration of what the gospel's all about. Because see, all those religious leaders right after this, they chide Jesus and the dude that got healed. They're like, dude, it's the Sabbath. You can't be healing people on the Sabbath. And Jesus is like, for real? So like the Sabbath is more important? Like whether or not we work on the Sabbath is more important than somebody getting set free today? By the way, when our traditions and our rules and our appearances push people away from the gospel, that's not the gospel. Come on now. Are you with me today? And so we got to be careful with the things that we theologize, we spiritualize, that are really just our stuff and our expectations and our pleasantries and all our traditions and rules within the church. And that's what these religious leaders had. They said, man, the law of Moses, you got to keep the law of Moses. And that's how you're made right with God. But friends, listen to me. Don't miss the picture. Did Moses and the people of Israel who wandered in the wilderness, did they make it into the promised land? That group? No, that original group that came out of Egypt, they all died there. It was their children and grandchildren who ended up going in the promised land. What the law cannot do, Moses brought the law in. He didn't even get to go in himself. Joshua did. His name in the original language is Yeshua. You know another form of that name, Yeshua? Come on, Bible scholars, what is it? Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What the law could not do and Moses couldn't do, Joshua did. Jesus can do. And that is the picture he's giving here today. You're not going to go to heaven by being a good person. You don't go to heaven by just keeping some rules or checking the boxes religiously. No, it's about a relationship with Christ. In fact, in chapter 5, verse 40, Jesus will go on to say here, you search the scriptures because you think there's life in them. He said, the Bible just talks about me. There's no life in the words on a page. Those words are God's words, but they draw you to me. I am the one who gives life. And so today, listen, if you want life, it's in Jesus, isn't it? It's in Jesus. Four keys. Now let's dive in together. And again, listen to me. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic today, but this is for real. If you'll listen close, today can be transformative for you. If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, you know, anger, bitterness, I mean, all this stuff that's just rocking our world right now, just tearing so many people up. If you listen close, today can be that springboard, that launching pad to health. Okay? Four keys to true health. Number one, you ready? The presence of the Lord is number one. Jesus himself is number one, isn't it? Some of you may have a translation that has verse 4 in it. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which does not show verse 4. It was later manuscripts that actually brought this in. It's interesting if you go back and look at it. It's not a contradiction in God's Word. It's simply a historical connection, if you will. Some say that there were angels that were stirring the water. There were others that say, well, it was just a spring, right, that bubbled up. And so when people got in that water, you know, it just help their body physically. Well, I don't know whether it was an angel or whether it was a spring, but now this guy laying there has the ruler of the angels standing right before him. Isn't that right? The ruler of the angels. The point that Jesus is making here is he says, listen, it's not about angelic beings. It's about me, right? And so Jesus comes. We need Jesus before anything else, before any counseling, medication, all these things that we're going to in our society, you gotta start. You listening? I'm not saying those aren't valid, but you gotta start with Jesus. How many of you believe that today? Come on, lift your hand. How many believe that today? You gotta believe it by faith that Jesus, you can set me free today. You can start this process, which we'll talk more about in just a moment. And so it starts with Jesus. Listen, you can go to all the 12-step programs you want to, but if step one ain't Jesus, it ain't gonna work. Are you listening? That's the point he's making to this dude here. And so we need Christ. And when we surrender to Christ, the scripture says in salvation, that picture in baptism today, death, burial, and resurrection. And when you're raised, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. And Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The question in health is not how will you overcome your issues? It's who will overcome your issues. Are you listening? It's who. It's not how. It's who. The who is Jesus. And he fills us with his Spirit in salvation, and we're called to walk in that Spirit, right? It's just like cell phones. A lot like cell phones. Cell phones now are the most integral communication tools in the world, aren't they? In our world today. And that means that electricity is also even more incredibly important than it's ever been. And so these phones, every night, what do you got to do? What do you got to do? Charge them up. In my house, listen, my children may forget their homework. They may leave their bag at home. They may forget to put underwear on and deodorant on, clothes on before they walk out the door. But I'll tell you, come on, parents, you know where I'm going with this. I'll tell you one thing they will not forget. That's a blooming cell phone charger. Can I get a witness on that today? Man, that is the most important accessory in my house. Is a cell phone charger. There have been more fights to the death over "that's my charger" since my kids got phones than anything else before that. So we have to manage this stuff, right? But this phone, it's working all day long. Power, right? It's using up all that power. Well, overnight it's got to recharge. And listen to me. So too, you and I, we've got to recharge every night. Yeah, you need some rest. By the way, diet, exercise, and rest. It's amazing how that stuff will help you too. Are y'all listening? God gives us some of this stuff in His Word, right? But first and foremost, it's about our recharge with Jesus. Every day I've got to be filled with His Spirit. Are you listening? Spirit. Ephesians 3:16. The Apostle Paul, he's praying for the church at Ephesus. He says, "Man, I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, that He would grant you to be strengthened." There's our word today. "With power through His," what's the next word, church? Come on now. Through the Holy Spirit. And so every day, listen, children of God, we should pray, "God, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me today. I need Your Holy Spirit." And then by faith, say, "Okay, God, You're going to guide me today. I'm going to hear Your voice. You're going to work around me. And I'm going to see You at work." So every day, man, we got to recharge. And so that's got to be where everything starts. Fill me with Your Spirit, oh God. Get in the Word. Get in prayer. Seek the Lord. True health starts first with the presence of the Lord. Number two, let's keep going. True health also includes, second key, the preaching of the Word. And you're here today, so you're receiving the preaching of the Word. And listen to me, that's not self-serving. It doesn't mean that I know it all. Hello? That's why it's important that you be in a church, like if you move or you move somewhere or something happens, that you be in a church where somebody's talking about Jesus up in there. Come on, somebody. You don't need pop psychology. You don't need a sermonette. You don't need my opinion or my feelings about stuff. We need the expositional teaching of the Word of God. Come on, church. What was it that set this dude free? What was it that healed him? Yeah, it was Jesus, wasn't it? And how did He heal him? A word. Just a word. Listen, the same God who spoke this world, this universe into being out of no prior substance, simply by His own power and for His own glory, stepped up and spoke to this guy. And everything changed. That's what happens when the body gathers on Sundays, but I would add to that also in small group Bible study, as you open the Word and you begin to expound upon the true gospel and the teaching of God's Word, there is transformative stuff that starts to take place. When we talk about Jesus and the cross and His resurrection power and His shed blood, and then prophetic ministry starts to take place. And that's what happens. And so we need the preaching of the Word. Listen to me. Some of you right now going to counseling for different things. That's great. Man, we want to help you with that. Get in Christian counseling. But listen to me. Your first counseling session every single week is right here on Sunday morning under the preaching of God's Word. And I hope you hear me. If you're not getting the preaching of God's Word and also plugging in Bible study with some others, if you're not under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the rest of those counseling sessions are not going to carry the same value or strength that they could, right? If you're not first rooted in the gospel. Romans chapter 16, verse 25, the Apostle Paul says this, "Now to Him who is able to strengthen you," there's our word, "He's able to strengthen you according to My gospel, and the preaching of" who? Come on, church. Preaching in My gospel. Now, why does Paul say My gospel? It ain't his, it's God's. Why does he say My gospel right there? He's tying it together with the preaching and teaching, the personal relational connection of the church. Are you listening? So we need the presence of the Lord. We need the preaching of the Word. But then that leads to number three. You ready? If you're with me, say amen this morning. Come on now. Okay, here we go. Number three. What's the third key? The people of God. People of God. This is key. Your connection to the body of Christ, to other brothers and sisters in Christ, is essential. All of us, for our growth in Christ, but also for our health, emotional, psychological, most importantly, spiritual health. To have the peace of God in our heart, the wisdom of God, the power of God, strength of God to obey Him and to be the men, women of God that He's called us to be. And so we need the people of God. One of the saddest parts of this story, did you see it? This dude been laying there for 38 years, man. Well, why didn't somebody put him in the pool? You ever thought about that? I mean, like, all these other folks are stepping in. By the way, it's good to be with the invalids. By the way, just because somebody's an invalid doesn't mean they're invalid. Come on now. Just because somebody's an invalid doesn't mean they're invalid. All of us are invalids. We all identify. We all lack strength apart from Jesus. But if all you're doing is hanging out with the invalids, the focus there is I got to get right, right? Don't miss that. I got to get right before I can help others get right. So there's this personal, I got to know Jesus first before I can try to help other people. So I also need some Jesus up in there. I need some Jesus people. I need some people who have walked this road and have learned and now are appropriating the grace of God and the gospel. So thank God. Listen to me, church. Thank God for people in the church that will speak into your life. That's the prophetic ministry of God. All of us have gifts. If you're saved, if you've given your heart to Jesus, we have spiritual gifts that we are called to use to build others' faith. And so whatever we do in this life, listen, and in the church, we're called to build one another's faith and encourage one another. So listen, why are you here? Let me tell you what we've done with serving God. We've turned serving God into setting up chairs, parking cars and handing out bulletins on Sunday morning. Come on now. All right. I see some guys smiling at me. Maybe y'all are on the team setting up the chairs, right? Is setting up chairs important? Come on, guys that are doing it. Absolutely it is. Is handing out bulletins at the door? Come on, hospitality team that's helping us. Is that important? Absolutely it is. Making coffee. Changing diapers. Come on, somebody need to change some diapers up in here. You know what I'm saying? Chaperoning teenagers on the lock-in. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, right? But those are all good things. But hey, listen, I want you to hear me today. I thank God for everybody who's serving in those ways. Thank you for what you do. But let me ask you a question. How are you building other people's faith as you're doing that? We have spiritual gifts for the edification of the body. In other words, the purpose of parking cars, handing out those bulletins, setting up these chairs, is so we can pray for one another, so we can build connections and go grab coffee together, talk about what God's doing in our life. And man, how can I encourage you in your faith? And hey, man, can we talk? I saw this in your life this past week. Man, not trying to be judgmental. Just brother in Christ, I'm concerned for you here. I mean, prophetic ministry. Are you listening? That's the stuff that's got to take place. And thank God for the church that comes alongside and speaks into one another's life. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Again, the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Spirit. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to, there's our word again, strengthen you. So there is strength in numbers, like the old cliche, isn't it? There is strength in those within the body, the church, who also loves Jesus and is following Him. It's a lot like redwood trees in California. If you know anything about the Sequoia National Forest or National Park there and those big redwood trees, you know they are amazing trees. They're the largest single-stem trees on the earth. In fact, the General Sherman, 275 feet tall, 25 feet in diameter, right? I'm trying to remember the number, 3,500 tons, 5,000 tons, 500 tons, something like that. Something crazy, okay? Let's just leave it at that. So just unbelievably massive trees. And so when you see these trees, you would think that they've got to have just massive tap roots, right? Like hundreds of feet deep in order to hold up these trees that are so massive. Well, This is interesting. It's actually the opposite. Those trees withstand earthquakes and winds and fires for centuries with only about a 10-foot deep root system. How in the world is that possible? It's possible because all those trees in that area, all their root systems, grow together. And underneath the ground, it's miles upon miles of roots that are all intertwined. They all, this is good, isn't it? They all gain their strength from each other. And so too, listen to me, if you want to grow like a General Sherman in Christ, come on now. You got to have that interconnectedness, that true, the Bible calls it fellowship, koinonia, spirit-filled relationships. Not just how's the weather and how's the stuff. No, do you want to be healed? Do I want to be healed? So, yeah, let's talk about the weather and football a little bit, but then let's get to the nitty-gritty. I mean, what's going on in your marriage? What about your parenting? How's your thought life? What about your finances? How are you honoring God in that? What about depression, anxiety, anger, bitterness, lust, greed, addictions, this stuff? So you got to get real. And that's where the interconnectedness comes in. And that's how you can grow strong in Christ. And so listen, what's a key to true health? Well, it's the people of God. It's the presence of God. It's the preaching of the word. It's the people of God. But then lastly, it's the process of disciple making. Do you see it here? See the process? Come on, church. Jesus looked at him. What did he say? We're almost done this morning, so stay with me. What did he say to him here? You see it in your Bible? What does it say to him? What did he say? Get up. Number two, take up. Yep. And then number three, walk, right? Take up your bed and walk. That's what he told him. And I really believe what we see here, and I don't want to extrapolate, but I do believe this gives us some principles to a process. Once you get saved, in a moment, can Jesus heal you and save you? Does he save us in the moment we call on his name? Come on, church. Absolutely he does. Can he set you free at once, heal you at once? Inside, yes, but thus begins a process, doesn't it? It does. Now you're in relationship with God and with his people, and you got to walk in it. And so that's where he goes here. Number one, he says, get up. Get up. Whenever I hear those words, get up, I think about, Mick on Rocky. Come on now, especially guys in the room. You remember Rocky movies? Remember, come on, Rock, get up, get up, get up, right? He's in the corner, man. He's like, come on, get up. Right, he's speaking to him there, man, and he's getting just his brains beat out. But it's like the inspiration of Mick, right? Oh, Mickey in the corner, man. He's able to get up, and Adrian too, right? The bride. And so, man, it's just he gets this inspiration. And listen to me, don't miss the picture. You got one in your corner telling you to get up. And he is the God of all creation. And if he got up out of that grave, you can get up out of the grave you're in. Come on, somebody. Get up. And so when he speaks, it's a word. Get up. Listen, today in Jesus' name, get up. Be set free. Be healed in his name. Man, and through the shed blood of Christ and his power, he's in your corner. He's not the one beating you up. Some of you think he's the one shaming you, condemning you, beating you up in the ring. Man, no, that's the devil in the world that condemns. We have a wonderful, gracious, loving Father who's in our corner saying, listen, get up, man. I've got the power right here. Just appropriate it. Just trust me. Just get up by faith. So get up. Number two, take up. Take up. So you got to get up and you got to take some steps to get into those relationships. Get in the church. But then you got to take it up. It says here that the very thing that he was lying on, now he is carrying, this is good, for the whole world to see. Come on now. Listen to me. Your victory, the victory in your life will become consistent when you start taking up your bed for other people to be set free. That's a good word today. When your test becomes your testimony, now victory can become consistent in your life. When your trial turned triumph, becomes somebody else's triumph, now you can be set free. So many people stay in this place of brokenness because it's all about self. It's all about self. They never begin to serve someone else and say, hey, now I'm going to help you in your struggle. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to serve you. Yes, you got to have time to get you right. But once you get you right, now you got to get off you and get on somebody else. Come on now. In Jesus' name. And so you got to take it up. Listen, for some of you here today, that's the step. Jesus has done a work in your heart. You've been set free, but you're not serving. You're not sharing. You're not out here building relationships with others for the sake of Christ and for his kingdom. And so, man, you got to take up, right? Take your testimony out and begin to use that so that others can be set free. Like Tevin said this morning, he said, man, your story is powerful and God wants to use your story. But then thirdly and lastly, what do we got to do? Step up. Walk. Step up. One day at a time. You got to show up. You got to speak up. You got to grow up. You got to step up. How do you walk, by the way? One step at a time. One day. Maybe it's just one decision at a time for you right now. Maybe it's just right now in this moment, I'm going to do the right thing right now. And the good news is, by the grace of God, listen, that first step, when we just turn and we start to take that step, he runs to meet us there. And so what about you today? Do you know Jesus? That's where true peace and joy is found. That's the only way we're made right with God. Our sin separates us from him. Do you know Christ today? Have you surrendered and submitted to him as Lord of your life? If not, all the other steps don't matter. You got to start there, and then everything else will begin to fall into place in your life. Not perfect, not easy, but peace and power and presence, the consistent work of God in your life, even in your struggles. And so it starts with Jesus. Starts there. What about your commitment to God, his word, his church? Oh, how we need one another, don't we, church? Come on now. And listen, what about this process of, okay, now I'm seeing healing, so I want to help other people get set free. What about you? Maybe the response today is for you to say, hey, I need to get plugged in. I need to get in that family group. I need to serve in ministry. I need it. I can't tell you how much of a blessing this is for me every Sunday to stand up here and have to give the word to you. Because you know what that does? That makes me have to get in it. Come on now. It makes me have to dig in. It makes me have to pray hard. Because God matters and you matter. And so, man, when all of a sudden God and others is what's on your mind and not just your own stuff all the time, it's amazing how everything changes.